Welcome to the Six Figure Developer Podcast, the podcast where we talk about new and exciting technologies, professional development, clean code, career advancement, and more. I'm John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.
This week, we're talking with Cassandra Ferris. Cassandra is passionate about the human side of technology. She is an international speaker who specializes in teaching people how to be more effective team members and advance their careers. Welcome, Cassandra.
Hi, glad to be here.
So before we get started, would you tell us just a little bit about yourself? Maybe what got you into this industry? What sort of led you down this path?
So I started on this path actually as a recruiter for a warehouse. And I did warehouse recruiting for a couple years, and it got to a point where I was on call 24/7. There was no work-life balance. And I knew that at the time I enjoyed recruiting and I had an interest in technology. So I specifically targeted tech recruiting jobs. And in my time as a tech recruiter, early on, one of my goals was just to be a knowledgeable recruiter. I had several developer friends who said, don't be the dumb recruiter who doesn't know Java and JavaScript are different things. And so I started kind of educating myself on a lot of cloud computing was new at the time, so that some other things that were happening. And over time, I went from kind of attending user groups and learning at them to helping organize conferences and events to eventually realizing that I could give back to the developer community myself by speaking and teaching developers things, you know, the other things that round us out as professionals. And so I kind of went really off the rails as a recruiter and became kind of the community liaison for a consulting company. And then most recently, I moved full-time into what's called developer relations, which is a newer profession, but it's basically aimed at bringing together technology professionals, companies, and the community to promote ideas and products and to get conversations going. And so that's where I'm working right now.
Okay. So what does that sort of look like from like a day-to-day basis for you? So for people that might not be sort of so familiar with that.
So every day is different. A lot of it looks like kind of connecting with people, both in person at different events, whether it's conferences, user groups, meetups. Also online, I tend to use a lot of social media to reach out to people in the tech community, engage in conversations. I always say that Twitter is my most powerful professional tool by far. And then the other piece of it is a lot of kind of creating content, talks and blog posts and podcast interviews and things around the things that make technical professionals successful outside of code. Right now, currently, I'm working on a talk that I'm delivering actually next week on how technologists and business teams can communicate together more effectively. So I'll do the research for the talk, write up a rough outline, you know, write the talk, write the presentation, and then practice it. So a mix of kind of teaching, writing, and connecting with people.
So what are you working on these days?
So the one thing I'm working on right now is I've started being approached to do some independent kind of communication training and career coaching. So I've been working on getting kind of a small client base built up in that area to help people. I have a workshop that I do basically, and it's a 4-hour workshop that guides you on what your career path should be and helps you figure out what you'd like to do next. And so I'm starting to offer that out as a service. So that's one thing that I'm doing. I'm also on a hunt for a full-time job in developer relations, interviewing for a couple positions in kind of community management, community program management sorts of roles. And then pivoting kind of the material I speak on. So to date, it's been a lot of career development. And moving forward, I'm doing a lot of talks on communication. So this one on business and technical communication. I have one on emoji and visual communication that I'm writing as well, because so much of our communication is text-based. And I want to talk about how we use pictures and emoji and GIFs and things to kind of enhance our messaging. And then I'm doing a talk on overcoming failure and owning your vulnerability and the strength that you can find through that.
Do you find that there's a lot more people that are looking for that guidance and the next steps and figuring out what their career looks like 5 and 10 years down the road? Because it seems like when I started more than 20 years ago in this industry, it was very common for developers to be developers throughout their career, maybe with one or two or just a handful of companies, and retiring at some point later in life, having maybe moved into a senior developer role position at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a lot more options. The reason the workshop that I do on this was actually born is that there was somebody who was maybe 20 years older than me at an event that I was speaking at, and he asked me, how do I figure out what I want to be when I grow up? And I'm thinking, this guy could be my dad and he doesn't know what he wants to do. So I always say nobody knows exactly what they want to be when they grow up. That's harder to figure out, but you can kind of deliberately sit and reflect on your next few steps in your career path. And so I'm seeing a lot of people in tech, especially as you get further in your career and get past those first couple junior developer jobs, you have a lot of freedom and have a lot of flexibility. And so a lot of people are asking, well, what direction do I want to take my career? What are my priorities? You know, where can I afford to compromise and not? What would I like to do long term? And I don't know. It sounds like it hasn't always been the case in our industry, but I've seen a lot more of that. And probably the past like 3 to 5 years, I've started to see more deliberate focus on kind of the human side of tech and careers.
How do you point people in the right direction when they're sort of trying to understand this question? What do I want to do, or how do you even find that out?
So a lot of times I feel like managers can go, no offense if anybody's a manager, but managers a lot of times go about this backwards and they say, hey, what's your 5-year plan? And you're supposed to know what your end goal is. And what I do is I have people actually walk them through this exercise where we reflect first on kind of what has led you to this point in your career. What have you enjoyed most? What have you enjoyed least? What have you tried to do more of as you've moved jobs? And then kind of reflect on what your values are, you know, your personal and professional values, and what your priorities are. And then once you have an idea of what makes you feel fulfilled and what you enjoy at work and what you value and you prioritize, you can build your career goals off the basis of that. And so for me, it was when I pivoted out of recruiting, I kind of went through this reflection myself and realized that the things I found really fulfilling were rewarding and teaching, connecting with other people, connecting people with each other, and travel and just meeting new people. And so I eventually started targeting jobs and opportunities where I could do more of the things that I liked and less of the hands-on, hey, I'm hiring, kind of filling job openings. You know, some of my values are that making our community more inclusive and inviting new people in it and helping people get their start and making sure it's a community where we don't get burnout and where we continue to learn and grow, but we're also kind of living fulfilling lives. And so I try to help people facilitate that.
I just hit a milestone birthday, so I've been thinking a lot about what I want to be when I grow up as well. I've got a few more gray hairs than Mr. Ash here. I've been reflecting on that as well. I'm up to senior level, team lead, tech lead, architect type roles these days. But I find that I really enjoy working in the specific technologies that I like. I enjoy working with teams and helping teams grow and finding qualified candidates to grow a team in numbers as well. I enjoy working with younger developers, younger in their career and or age. I've been volunteering and contributing and helping local code schools in the area, just trying to get involved in the community and making sure that it's a healthy, strong, energetic, vibrant community.
That's great. We need people doing that because this community, I fangirl the Midwest tech community quite a bit because it is a very friendly, inclusive community. It's a small world, but it's easy to become a part of. And I'm glad to see other people kind of helping make it welcoming, contributing, inviting, especially new people in. Years ago, I used to recruit for a training program at a consulting company, and I recruited junior developers, and it was one of the most rewarding things I did. And these people came from all different backgrounds. And now, 6 years later, I'm seeing where all of these people went, and some are working on like really cool IoT projects, and some, like one pivoted into business analysis because he found out that was a better fit for him. It's cool to see these people who came from backgrounds, everything from like customer service to IT help desk, and now see how they've advanced.
I guess one question that I have for you is, especially having the recruiting background, when a developer sort of has an idea on, or what advice or tips would you give to people to say, hey, this is what information you should share, or this is how to work with a recruiter, this is how to understand when someone is sort of working with you to find the right place for you, as opposed to just filling you into a seat that is the right place for them? Because I feel like a lot of times that sort of can become the downside. they don't know exactly what they want, but then also you have someone else who's just knows exactly what they're looking for, and they're trying to get you into that right spot. So what kind of advice would you give to people to say, hey, this is what you should be looking for, this is what you should be sharing with people?
So first of all, I think you owe it to yourself to sit down and kind of reflect on your career path and what you want. And you need to do that when you're not actually looking for a new job. You need to do that when you're happy and content in your job and settled. You want to be thinking about and reflecting on it. And it might not even necessarily result in you leaving your current company. You can find those opportunities internally as well. But you owe it to yourself to every 6 months or so sit down, take an hour or two out of your week, and kind of reflect on your career, where up to this point, where you would like it to go. So I think that's a piece of it, because that will allow you then to more effectively either conduct a job search or just be open to opportunities that come along. And then in a similar vein, the right time to find a recruiter is when you don't actually need one. So there are people that I met years and years ago that weren't actively looking for jobs, but we just kind of formed relationships. And then because we'd had this relationship that we had built, when they're looking for a job or their friend is looking for a job, they would come to me because they knew that they could trust me. They knew that we had a relationship. They knew that I knew some of their personal and professional values. I knew what it was that was important to them. And then maybe every once in a while, even when they weren't actively looking, I'd see an opportunity that was really cool and reach out. It happened with somebody who I'd sat down with them. We met. Things didn't work out. And then eventually I knew he really wanted to work in mobile development and do iOS development. I had a project come along that was an iOS opportunity. And even though he wasn't actively looking, he wasn't doing that iOS work in his current role. So I reached out and I was like, hey, finally got the iOS project that you're looking for. Do you want to chat? And if he had said no, that would have been fine. We would have just stayed in touch with each other, continued the relationship, but he wound up moving over and joining, working the iOS app.
So for someone that, like your iOS candidate, that's interested in breaking into a specific genre of development or looking to move or change or make a career shift, are there things that those types of individuals can start thinking, planning, doing in order to move in the direction that they think would most benefit them?
Yes. The first thing to do is, if you want to make a transition, find a meetup, find a user group. I think that those in-person connections are very valuable. If you can't find that, maybe you can find a community online, a LinkedIn group, chats on Stack Overflow, like different online resources, but finding a community that's working with the technology you're targeting, and then also finding things like, maybe it's LinkedIn Learning, maybe it's Pluralsight, maybe it's Code Academy, but those sorts of programs to start getting your hands onto the technology. The best example I have of this is somebody who, right when I first started doing tech recruiting or early in my career, he was working in IT help desk in like a warehouse setting. But he had a strong interest in programming, and so he started showing up to the local .NET developers user group, and then made friends with somebody who was also part of the, at the time it was a Windows dev or Windows app dev user group. And he started attending the .NET developers group and the Windows app dev group. And then he went to this Windows phone hackathon, started meeting with one of the people from the user group one-on-one as a mentor. And after a couple, it took him a while because it was part-time and he was a dad and he had kids and everything. But after a couple years, he had a pretty solid base as a junior developer. And in the meantime, he and I had formed a friendship. And so when we had a junior developer position open, and he was the first person I contacted because I knew he'd be perfect for it. And so he literally networked his way into a job. So that's why, you know, I say community is so, so powerful. And I've seen that happen over and over, but that one always stands out to me because the guy, like, he grew up really poor. He grew up, you know, I think dad was like an auto mechanic, all these different things. So very blue collar to now successful senior programmer story that he has. And it's resulted in better quality of life for his wife, his kids, everybody. And I'm still really, really proud of him to this day.
That's really cool. You know, one of the things that you hear a lot is, or at least I hear a lot, is people talking about sort of a need to grow their personal branding. I know that's one of the things that you help people with. Is that, you know, what is that? What does personal branding mean? And sort of how do you develop that?
Personal branding is hard to define without using the words personal or branding. But it's basically how you present yourself to the world in a professional context. I used to roll my eyes at that phrase. I still kind of feel like it sounds a little pretentious, but it's also a thing that like it or not, if you're online, you have a personal brand, so you might as well make the best of it. For me, initially, it was accidental. So I had, early in my recruiting career, I made a Twitter account, and one of my friends was tweeting about a conference called CodeMash. And at the time, I didn't even really know what CodeMash was, except it was a developer conference. Later, come to find out, it's this giant conference in an indoor water park, 4 days long in January, and it's amazing, and it feels like college meets summer camp with all your friends. So I just followed everybody who was tweeting with the hashtag CodeMash just to see what people were talking about. And eventually I started chatting with some of those people, and it wasn't even always chatting about technology. It was sometimes chatting about, I don't know, they could post a picture of their cat and it's cute, or we were running the same 5K or whatever. And then I started sharing kind of more professional content. So I would share sometimes kind of snarky job search advice. Like, I had a candidate once who his dad was calling me. I didn't hire him, and his dad called to yell at me for not hiring him. And so I would periodically post like something funny that happened as a candidate. I once had a recruiter. I've had recruiters try to hire me as a developer, which I'm this much of a developer. So like I would post kind of that kind of stuff, but I would also post useful career advice and post about community events. And so people started reaching out to me about those topics. Then I realized, oh, if I'm a little bit more deliberate about this and I'm kind of purposeful about what I post and what I share, then I can use my personal brand to build connections or enhance connections I've made in person. And so the talk I do on it is called Purposeful Personal Branding, because initially it was an accident, and then I realized to be a little bit more purposeful and strategic about it. The other thing I think to remember about a personal brand is that it is a personal brand. So you don't have to keep things strictly professional. And I don't. My Twitter feed is a lot of techie stuff, but it's also my dog, my Columbus Crew soccer fandom, my, you know, stuff that happens when I'm playing D&D, my travels. I have a running joke with one of my developer friends that shoes are prisons for your feet. And so today I tweeted something about how it's the first day of fall and I'm still not wearing socks and shoes. And so it's a fun way to connect with another developer on kind of a more personal level, but he's also a super smart developer based out of Toledo, Ohio. My Twitter feed's fairly consistent and fairly deliberate, but it definitely gives you, see some of me as a person as well as me as a professional.
Okay. So for developers, what are some of the actions that you would really recommend someone take if they're looking to sort of grow their brand?
I tell people all the time, like, reflect on maybe your top three professional strengths that are technical and your top three professional strengths in the non-technical space, and then maybe your top three personal interests, and start crafting your content around those, you know, 5 to 9 different pieces of content. And that's where you start, so you're not so overwhelmed sharing all the things. And so figure out what it is either that interests you the most. What are you really good at? What's your pet project you're working on? What's your side project? Like, for you guys, it might be you start sharing stuff about podcasting and the kind of behind the scenes. How do you do the podcast? How do you find your guests? What material do you get? What have you learned from the podcasting best practices? But that's what it is it's sitting down, and I literally tell people, like, write down what it is that you want to share on your personal brand. And then you have to decide your platform. I am a Twitter fan, LinkedIn, because it's kind of a necessary evil. I know a lot of people, some people do Twitch, some people do, you know, Instagram, people do all sorts of different things. But for me, and for a lot of people in the dev community, Twitter seems to be kind of one of the better platforms for engaging.
Yeah, Twitter seems to be where a lot of the technologists are, and certainly willing to engage and respond to anyone that's willing to have that conversation. It's much more open than it was in past years, and it seems like people are much more approachable and easier to shout out to and get a response.
Exactly.
It seems there's a lot more avenues for getting out there and getting involved and getting engaged. I moved down to the Tampa area about 4 years ago, and at the time there wasn't really an active .NET meetup, so we started one. We started blogging, we started podcasting, we started writing a book, started tweeting more. There's all kinds of avenues to make yourself known and to give yourself a voice out in the community.
And I get asked all the time, do I blog, do I Twitch, do I do this or that? I'm like, I only can do so many platforms. Blogging is newer, I've started to do that more, but I have a couple blog posts in draft, but don't feel like you have to engage in all the platforms. Like, I don't even mess with Snapchat. I don't do like the TikTok thing. I don't do those things. My Instagram isn't usually very techie focused. My Facebook is generally cross-posted from my Instagram. So don't pick like 1 to 3 platforms to focus on rather than all 5,000 that it seems like there are now. And that can keep you from getting too overwhelmed.
And don't be nervous about how you'll be received. People are generally looking for you to be successful in whatever you do. And if you're interested in music or podcasting or bonsai or whatever, people are going to say, that's cool. I'm glad you like that. And even if it's not for them, they're going to move on. They're not going to ridicule you for your own interest. More often than not, they're going to give you praise and give you support and welcome you into the internet.
And you connect with people based on those interests. My corgi who's barking in the back, I've made probably 6 or 7 different Twitter friends all over the U.S. because they also have corgis. So like there was a thread going around yesterday where a few weeks ago, like 5 of us were just tweeting pictures of our dogs at each other. So you never know like what personal things people are going to connect with. The caveat, of course, is don't be a jerk. If your personal brand is negative and snarky and constantly complaining, that I just personally frowned upon it completely. Some people might find it amusing, but I think it's a limiting factor. So definitely keep things more on the positive side. Don't be a jerk.
It might be a win in the short run, yeah. But in the long term, people are just going to get tired of it sort of thing.
Yeah. And then also deciding kind of your tolerance level of how much you want to weigh in on super controversial topics. So I don't talk about religion online. I don't really talk about politics online. And I know that anytime I tweet something related to diversity and inclusion or women in tech, those sorts of things, I know that that might invite a little bit of controversy, but I always try to create those posts like in a more positive spin, not necessarily calling people out, but just sharing things. And I found that I haven't had to deal with a lot of trolling or anything, even when I've went into kind of more controversial topics, but I have some pretty hard limits about what I won't tweet about and politics and religion, just because internet arguments go downhill fast. So not doing that.
Do you have any thoughts or advice on how to remain positive and how to remain supportive of those in the community? Are there things and ways for others to show their support in a way that might not be controversial, hopefully?
Yeah. So one of the things that I do, and I've done this online and I've done it in person, is one really good way to show support is when somebody says that they are interested in starting to attend groups, becoming a speaker. Those are kind of two of the main questions I get. Tell them what groups exist, you know, let them know where to find the groups to attend. And if it's somebody who wants to speak, especially if they're somebody who's underrepresented in tech, I will actively encourage them. I'll be like, oh, that's great. I'm sure you have something to say. We'll talk a little bit, maybe have a brief conversation about what they might want to talk about. And if they seem serious about it, I will offer to help them brainstorm ideas, review their talk abstracts, that sort of thing. So that's one way to do it, is just to kind of, if somebody's interested in something, don't shoot them down. I was terrified I would be shut down when I gave my first ever conference talk, because recruiters don't speak at conferences, and I was a recruiter at the time. And at no time did anybody tell me, hey, you're a recruiter, you don't belong here. All the sense of not belonging there came from my own head and my own imposter syndrome. And so I think that because of that, now I've been able to be doing this for 5 years. I've been able to speak internationally. I've been able to go all over because people encouraged me and said, hey, that's great. You know, we want to hear what you have to say. So I think just encouraging people, even little things, like a few weeks ago, a woman tweeted that she was about to do her first ever conference talk. And I just happened to see the tweet. And so I've never met this person. I think I just followed her a few weeks ago. And I tweeted her like, hey, good luck. Let me know how it goes. And so the next day she did the talk, she tweeted back at me, and then we DM'd back and forth, and she asked me for some additional resources for places she could speak. And so I sent her a list of conferences. So just kind of those little like, hey, good luck, I hope it goes well, encouraging sort of notes. I tend to be a bit of a natural cheerleader and encourager. So that helps, I think, me think to do that stuff naturally, but people don't always think about that. But congratulating people on their first talk and asking how things go is a good, very practical thing you can do.
I've seen a lot more people being open about their own personal issues and personal demons on Twitter, for example, talking about what's got them down, what's got them depressed, what horrible situation they found themselves in professionally. And just the amount of support out there is amazing. Do you find that there's a lot more open discussion about those types of struggles and issues that people are dealing with?
There is starting to be. So I'm starting to see more people in tech in the past couple years talk about mental health. There's been a lot of conversation lately about burnout and some of kind of the toxic aspects of our industry. And I'm starting to see people share that. And that's part of why I found, so I went through a really rough year last year. My life was a bad country song. Like everything you could imagine happened. Husband left, dog died, lost my job, got in a car accident. Like everything happened a couple years ago. I made it through and that's good. But I found that when I was going through that, I didn't share all that stuff publicly. Like really, I didn't really like blast it out there, but I did talk to people, talk to my network, talk to my community about it. And I found that by being open and being vulnerable about the struggles I was going through, not only did I get the support I needed, I also made it okay for other people who were going through it. Now, I'll never forget 2 years ago at a conference, three of us were all going through these situations where our spouses had left us. There was a night where the three of us sat out late at night and were talking about all of this. And then the conference happened again a year and a half later. And so this past year at this conference, we were all kind of comparing notes on where we'd been a year and a half ago versus now. And we'd been checking in with each other throughout the last year and a half. And it was really good to know you're not alone. Whatever you're struggling with, somebody else is struggling with it. And so it's okay to share that stuff. And I do sometimes share some of those things. Like I'm open about the fact that I see a therapist. I'm open about the fact that I have depression that's treated, but it's still there. As a result, other people seem to feel more open about it. And the other thing I think it does is that being vulnerable and that being open about those things lets people see that, yes, I'm struggling and I can be successful in spite of that. And so I feel like even though I've had my struggles, because I'm successful, hopefully that shows other people to understand that their struggles and their illnesses and their whatever doesn't have to define them, and they can be more than that.
That's excellent. So one of the things we sort of bring up to everyone, all the guests who come on, is we ask them to give some advice and speak to our listeners who are just getting started and or maybe are trying to level up in their career. What words of wisdom would you give those people?
I boil this down to six words, and it's learn stuff, meet people, help them. Keep learning all the time. Our industry, you have to keep learning. Meet other people. Meet them online, meet them offline. And when you meet somebody at a conference or an event or a meetup or whatever, don't leave that conversation there. Connect with them online. Send them a follow-up note that says, hey, it was great to meet you at this event. What were your other favorite sessions you attended? Or it was great to meet you at this event. I know we talked about this technology. Here's an article I read about it. But kind of form that connection. And then that kind of helps you build relationships. That's the meet people part. Then helping other people. Helping people doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be that I sit down with you for coffee for 2 hours. It can be, well, the woman who was looking for additional speaking opportunities, it took me a minute or 2 minutes to send her back a DM that said, hey, here's a link to a bunch of Midwest tech conferences. If you want some more information on them, let me know. It's sending a blog post. It's sending an article. It's sending an upcoming event that you think might be interesting. All that stuff is helpful. And then there's also the helping in that somebody's looking for a job or somebody's looking for a learning resource or they're looking to hire somebody. Those are other ways that you can help people. But it's a lot of little actions, and over time that all builds up and it comes back to you in a really good way. So I know that, like right now, since I'm on a job search, one of the first things I did was I reached out to about a dozen or so of my speaker community kind of, or my speaker network kind of individually, and told them what was going on. And several of these people are people that I've helped with different things in the past, or I've helped their friends. And so they're all willing to help you back. And it's just kind of a very, to use the cliche, like you get what you give to this community. And like I said, it doesn't have to be, I mean, a lot of that help was like 30 second, 1 minute, you know, quick little thing. Sometimes it was more.
Very cool. What about resources? What resources might you point people to who are looking for career guidance or maybe looking to kind of grow their personal brand, dealing with mental health issues in technology? Where would you point people to?
For career advice and personal branding, I don't have any one single resource I use. A lot of my stuff has been anecdotal. It's been the result of interviewing thousands of people over the years and kind of picking up patterns. I could be selfish and say, hey, go to my LinkedIn profile and check out my slides from my presentations, because I can guide you through those processes. For the mental health and tech, I am a big fan of this organization called OSMI, Open Sourcing Mental Illness. Because mental illness isn't always the most logical And because we in the tech industry are very logical black and white people, it can be hard to understand. And so OwesMe is cool. The person who founded it, he had basically started sharing his struggles with depression within the tech community. Over time, found out he wasn't alone. And so since then, OwesMe will bring people to different conferences to speak. They actually put out several books. One for if you're somebody who is struggling, how to talk about it with your employer. If you're an employer who has an employee who's struggling, how to address that. They do a podcast, they do some blogs, and then they do a survey every year too about the prevalence of mental illness in tech. The statistic is interesting. So among the general population, it's about 20% of adults in America have a mental illness. In the tech industry, according to the OwesMe survey, so obviously a limited resource, but it's closer to 35%+. And anecdotally, I think that sounds about right just from talking to so many people over the years. So that's a really good resource that speaks to kind of the type of audience that we are.
If our listeners were wanting to follow you and maybe pick up, find out what conference you're doing or DM you or talk to you, connect with you directly, what social media accounts would you kind of for? What would you direct them to?
I would say Twitter or LinkedIn. I am at Cassandra Ferris all over everything on the internet. I have a blog that has kind of been lying dormant. Like I said, I have some material coming up. I have a post on kind of charting a career path that I'll be posting in the next few weeks. And then we're going into a season in Columbus where there are a lot of conferences happening. So I'm going to be putting up a post about how to maximize networking opportunities at conferences. But everything's at Cassandra Ferris, and I'll tweet and LinkedIn. I'll share those things on Twitter and LinkedIn. In general, I'll connect with anybody reasonable on LinkedIn. My DMs are open on Twitter, so definitely happy to reach out.
Alrighty. And then I know you mentioned you had at least one coming up this next week, but what other speaking engagements do you have coming up directly?
Monday, September 30th, I have the Get With It, which is Columbus Women in Tech Conference. I'm doing a talk on business and tech communication. Thursday and Friday, October, I think it's 3rd and 4th, that same week, I'll be speaking at Dog Food Con, which is a conference I used to run that focuses on Microsoft and then Microsoft and open source technology. I'm doing my talk on how our health is the most important tool we have at technologists at that conference. I have a couple meetups. I think I'm doing Front End Columbus and Ministry of Testing in the coming months. And then in January, I'm speaking at a conference called AntarcticConf. So it's a
very nice.
Yes. So that'll be interesting, but it'll be on a cruise ship in Antarctica in January. And it will be warmer there than it will be in Ohio. But yeah, locally, it'll be Columbus Women in Tech and Dog Food Con will be my next two. And then conferences kind of slow down in November and December. And then in the spring, there's a whole bunch of them that I like to do.
All right. Thanks, Cassandra. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
That was Cassandra Ferris. Cassandra is passionate about the human side of technology. Her career has focused on supporting tech professionals through training, community outreach, hiring, mentoring, and employee engagement. She's an international speaker who specializes in teaching people how to be more effective team members and advance their careers.
If you like this episode, please like, rate, and review on iTunes.
Find show notes, blog posts, and more at sixfiguredev.com.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at @SixFigureDev.
This has been another episode of the Six Figure Developer Podcast, helping others reach their potential. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I am John Ash.